Say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I was really thinking of this. I was out there for Justin Verlander's game on Tuesday night, and he's thrown a no-hitter.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought, I said, which JV is better at their job? Jeff Van Gundy, JVG, at broadcasting games, or Justin Verlander at pitching? And you could make the argument that, well, the greatest in the game right now is Jeff Van Gundy, and Justin Verlander maybe is right up there, but is he the greatest in the game?
So you're just going to act like Hubie Brown does things? You're not going to show some respect to the great Hubie Brown?
The best is Jeff Van Gundy, and he's joining
us. I'm a fan of Jeff Van Gundy, but I think Coach would even acknowledge, all right, when we get a chance to rebound, pull it off the glass, and go. I mean, when Hubie, there's something about Hubie I still love, too.
Yeah. Jeff Van Gundy joining us right now. I think the greatest in the game. Well, Lance, okay, why don't you go to Hubie Brown as an interview? Okay.
Coach, I'm just trying to show some respect to the great Hubie Brown as well. Look what he does. Look what he turns it into.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, when he says in the painted area, like that is like the greatest. He doesn't say in the paint. In the painted area. It's awesome. And there's no question between me and Justin Verlander, that's as big a blowout as you could have. Verlander the other night, I thought he was going to get the no-hitter. I really did. I thought it was like over.
But the stuff was good. You weren't facing the most deadly lineup.
No,
there was a
but
lot
Jose Abreu,
working there. Yeah.
That's all you had was Jose Abreu.
We got you.
And he took care of that business. Jeff Van Gundy with us here. I was out at Wildcat yesterday, Coach. Well, by the way, we have sold out our golf tournament, which is going to benefit ProVision. Mm-hmm. So we got some money already raised.
Already raised.
Now we got silent auctions. We need to get some stuff. If you can find anything from anybody and you want to bring it by, we'll have a captive audience. People would love to bid on something, a Jeff Van Gundy autographed basketball or something, anything that we can raise some more money.
How about this? You know what I like to do, because I like human interaction after in this phone age? Like, how about like a lunch for four that I'll like take people out?
Yeah.
If anybody wants to do that.
That's
absolutely
awesome. Yeah.
Well, let's auction it right now.
Yeah.
How about this? We'll start the bidding. We'll just start it at 100, and that way you guys can just fire it up. So it's a lunch for 3 plus 1, right, Coach? 3 people with you?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Got another one, yeah, it don't matter.
Whatever. Yeah. So let's do that, and we're going to raise money for ProVision, and that's what the golf tournament on June 5th is all about. And Wildcat was just in great shape. It was wonderful. We had a great time out there at the U of H golf tournament, and we're going to have a great time out there on June 5th as well, and we're raising money for ProVision. So anybody wants to bid on a lunch with Jeff Van Gundy?
I tell you what, after the break, we'll figure out how we're going to do it, and we're going to throw it out there today.
Okay. All right.
We'll do that for
good.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-3776. That's awesome. And I know, listen, to sit with and hear your stories and to get the insight of a Jeff Van Gundy, that is
good.
Awesome
stuff. It's good stuff.
That's fun.
It's a lot of fun. Coach, speaking of insights, you know, you look at John and I had like an argument, but it's really, what are you even arguing? Who's better, Portland or Houston? Who cares? The whole point came up that the Portland Trailblazers had double-digit leads in 3 games, and yet they got swept. And it's really crystallized for me. You know what? The Rockets are as good and maybe better at times for the first 85% of a game, but who cares? If you can't play the last 15% of the game, if you can't execute against them because they're great executors over the last 15% of a game, you just can't beat them because they can just close you out. Even if they're behind, it doesn't matter. They're the horse that has the kick at the end.
Well, yeah, they have this elite player in Curry that is unique in that he plays as well with the ball in pick and rolls as he does off the ball. And he's always attracting the second defender. And so that's going to bring a lot of 4-on-3 situations. And so because of that, they do have the ability to come back, and they have a great defensive mentality. It doesn't show itself all the time, but in the playoffs, it's shown itself more and more. And you're right, like the comebacks against Portland, they almost seemed, you know, like inevitable. Like you're holding your breath, hoping the clock runs out for Portland versus, you know, continuing to try to build on a lead and attack them. And so I give Golden State a lot of credit. I think in some ways you've seen the same thing. You know, like these series are so close. Toronto wins game three at home in overtime. They're about to go down 3-0. And now they somehow get that win in overtime, and now they're up 3-2 with a chance to close it out to go to the finals. These series, they're close, and there's not much separation between the teams. And sometimes when you have the best player on the floor, that's all the separation you need to get over the hump.
But a lot of people.
But that's why Kawhi Leonard feels like he's one of those closers.
Well, look what he's shutting down Giannis. I mean, look at what they talk about. You know, he was second team all defense, whatever. Kawhi may be the best defender in the league, and he's doing an unbelievable job against Giannis. But this kind of stuff, Coach, when you're playing a 7-game series, you see the same guy. You got a game plan for the same guy over and over and over again. While Giannis may have been the best player night in and night out against different teams, when you got to face the same guy every night, there's a chance that you could do what Kawhi is doing to him right now.
Well, there's no doubt. And think about it. Usually, you know, there's so much like over talk about adjustments. Usually the adjustment from game to game is either a guy you play or don't play, or a matchup that, you know, you guard Giannis with Siakam, or you decide then to go to Kawhi Leonard. Those subtle matchup or playing rotation adjustments are usually much more significant to the outcome than some new play or new scheme. So I think that gets overdone. And you're right, like Leonard, you can make the case so far, he has been as valuable as any player in the playoffs to their outcome. And he has had absolutely dominant performances in close, hard-fought games when they've absolutely needed his best.
Is there we've been talking about that, Gene. And oh, by the way, I know this kind of stuff, but The Athletic had an article about Chris Paul and James Harden having a tiff after Game 6, and there was a lot of talk about, you know, too much ball stoppage and not enough ball movement and all of this stuff. But could you see that with the style of play that the Rockets have, that other guys might get frustrated in this organization?
Well, I think losing gets you frustrated. Listen, the Rockets play a different style, and for the most part, I think it served them well. And I think what happens is when you run up against an all-time team, which the Warriors certainly are, and you consistently lose to that team, there is going to be frustration at the moment of truth because you're close, but you're not getting over the hump. We had the same thing when I was with the Knicks against the Bulls. Time and again, we put together championship-level teams, and at the moment of truth, we could play a 7-game series, we could lose in 6 or 5 or whatever, close, hard-fought games, we couldn't get over the hump. And that does bring about angst and stress and frustration, all of those emotions, right? And so it doesn't surprise me that players would be upset afterwards. I think you'd have the wrong players if you didn't have a little bit of that.
Right. And you know, Coach, sometimes I wonder, an existentialist here, but I mean, I just wonder what it matters. I'm not sure what you can do right now at this point. You don't stop. You keep going and you keep tweaking. But I wonder how close it really is. If you can't, I know it feels close, but I really wonder at times how close the Rockets really are, because it's the same kind of stuff that keeps happening. Like, what are you going to do to eliminate the terrible, dumb turnovers in the last 2 minutes of a game? What personnel move can Daryl Morey make to eliminate bad turnovers? This is the kind of thing that creeps up all the time, and that is an execution issue. I don't know that the Rockets can do a lot more from a roster standpoint than what they've done. At some point, execution has to take place.
Well, it's interesting you said you're talking about that dilemma. How close are you? And that's where your persistence and your grit to keep going in the face of negative results is so critical, right? Because sometimes you don't even know how close you are or how far away you are. All I know is there's no question that to me in the Western Conference, the Rockets are the second best team, right? So where you want to put them, you know, how close to Golden State or how far away, whatever you think that gap is, there's no going back. I mean, you have to keep persisting and altering. You know, it might be a roster spot. It may be a rotation. It may be a scheme here or there. But there's sometimes you don't know how close you are, but sometimes you're not as far away as you think you are. And as far as what you're saying about the turnovers or whatever's gone wrong, and I'm sure they've done a lot of self-study about, you know, what the difference is, It comes down to this. They're playing against a great, great team.
Right.
And they've had their swings. You know, game 6 last year, game 7 last year. Like, why couldn't they finish? Game 6 this year, why couldn't they finish? You have to come up with whatever you think the answers are as an organization and then address them. You can't be, and I never thought the Rockets were. This is one thing I appreciate about them. They're not afraid to study and to self-critique. And I'm sure sometimes it's painful because I believe they're close, but, you know, it becomes like this thing where it's the one team. It's the one team that's in their way. And Pat Riley used to always say, some teams are just born at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And he felt that the Dallas Mavericks back in the 80s when he was at the Lakers and rolling, he thought they were a championship-level team born at the wrong time because the Lakers were in their way. He felt the same way about our Knicks against the Jordan Bulls. And right now, Houston has that same dilemma against a great Golden State dynasty.
That's why blowing it up is just not, I just don't think it's an option. But I do think you have to be honest with yourself that this is a quickly aging team with some real concerns from a cap standpoint now, which Daryl Morey's always been brilliant at being able to navigate around cap concerns and still have the ability to maneuver. I want to ask you this question. This one's a little tougher to answer, I think. How does the change of ownership from Les Alexander, who was a little more, I think, you know him, you were there with him. I felt like maybe he's a little more hands-off than Tillman Fertitta. You certainly haven't worked for Tillman Fertitta. How do you think the ownership change alters it, or if it alters at all, the way that the Rockets move forward?
Well, I think it's hard to judge that unless you've worked with the person. I'll say this. When I have ever evaluated ownership, and this goes back to my Knick days, people want to say this guy's a good owner or a bad owner. The only criteria to me is commitment to winning. And do they give you everything you needed to win? And in New York with the Jim Dolan, he gave us that. No complaints. In Houston, with Les Alexander, absolutely no complaints. Gave us everything we needed to win. The one thing he was more reluctant to do, because it was a different day in the NBA, was to enter the luxury tax, right? I think he may well have, if Daryl or Carol Dawson brought to him a deal that he thought made sense to enter the luxury tax with. But I think with Tillman, it seems to me like he's willing, from all statements, to go into the luxury tax, to pursue winning, to give them all they need to win. So I think that's how you judge it. And obviously, you don't want to overreact to bad results. And I thought Les did that very well. And, you know, right now, you know, Tillman has only had the club a couple years, and they've gotten great results, but I'm sure also they're frustrated in that, you know, both years they lost to the same team when they had, in my mind, the ability, if everything went perfectly, to win it. And it is frustrating, but I think you stay the course. You've got a great general manager, a great president, a great coach, and one of the elite players in the game in James Harden. So you have a lot of good things going for you. You just have to keep persisting, keep trying to improve. And also don't underestimate the fact that the Warriors could change. You know, their roster could change. They could come back to the pack more. And if they do, maybe you don't have to improve as much as maybe they come back to you. But there's also other good teams that are out there in the Western Conference. They have three of the top four picks in the draft. I mean, it continues to be a challenge. And you're right. The roster, you don't want a roster to get old, you know, and that catch up on you. And I'm sure Daryl will do whatever he can to tweak, improve, and regenerate his roster going forward.
Jeff Van Gundy with us on ESPN 97.5. Before you go, Coach, you're not a better team without Kevin Durant. And you're never going to be better. However, you look at the record when he's out, what is it, 31-1 or something ridiculous, and when Steph is out, you know, 22-22. So, and yet, and you look at how they play when Kevin Durant isn't there, and it looks like it's so much more fun. It's just unbelievable, the ball movement and everything else, as opposed to ball stoppage. Where are you on that with Kevin Durant and how well they play without him?
Well, let me start with how they play with him, okay? Because the one thing that Bill Parcells used to say over and over again that I couldn't agree with more is your record is what your record is. You know, I mean, you can't make it up. You can't, you know,
you are a story. Yeah, you are what your record is.
Yeah,
whatever.
You are what your record is. Right? So that's the truth, right? So here's Durant's record with the Warriors. Two championships in 2 years. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Two championships in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all because of him? No. But he was Finals MVP twice in 2 years. So anybody can tell me 31-1. All I know is in his 2 years, they've gotten to the mountaintop twice. Mm-hmm. Now, you also can't dispute that Curry, Thompson, Green, and their team has achieved remarkably well without one of the great players to ever play the game. Like, even though it's in a small amount of sample of 32 games, I mean, what you're saying, 31-1, I don't care if you were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers of this year, 32 times, you would be hard-pressed to win 31 of 32 games in that situation. So to be able to do that against really good teams, like, you think about it. They went to Houston in game six and won on the road, right? Then they go and sweep Portland. Yes, they were down. But to come back like they did in those two road games at Portland, a terrific accomplishment. And then they miss Iguodala in game four, so they're down Iguodala, Cousins, and Durant, and they're able to win those games. So impressive. So I think people are trying to make a case that doesn't need to be made. They've been great with Durant. You couldn't have been better with Durant. You won two championships in 2 years. But this remarkable run without Durant, you can't also overlook that and just how great their team, their coaching staff, and their individual players have been able to perform without a great, great player.
It's Jeff Van Gundy right here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, we appreciate it. ProVision, I know it's important to you. We're raising money for that. June 5th, we're going to be out at Wildcat Golf Club.
Can you believe that people paid $1,000 to play with me and $1,000 with John?
anyone would do something like that?
Well, first of all, I'm pumped up that they did. I can't believe they did. But and if my lunch goes for less than playing with you knuckleheads, I'm going to be depressed, okay?
Hey, Coach,
but I am so thankful. I am so thankful for you guys and your station's support of ProVision in this way. Not just the money, which is terrific, but also raising awareness for a remarkable place with remarkable kids, staff members, and leadership.
Very much.
Awesome. Well, yeah, what Ronell is doing is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So that's great stuff. We appreciate you being here and taking the time to hang with us. Great stuff, Coach. As always, we're going to sell that. And we got to get more than 1,000.
And don't miss Jeff Van Gundy. He's in Game of Zones. One of my kids said, I can't believe you know someone from Game of Zones. Yeah. I said, you mean the coach who coached the Rockets and who coached the Knicks and who's gone to NBA Finals? What are you? I know somebody from Game of Zones. That's a character on a cartoon. Yeah. What are you talking about?
There you go. I've been reduced to a cartoon character.
That's how you're famous now. Game of Zones. Congratulations.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, Coach.
All right, take care, guys.
That's Jeff Van Gundy.
We're going to take care. So, John.